Chapter 13. The first thing that I did was immediately deploy the thrusters in my boots, so I shot up into the air and out of reach of the warden with teleportation powers. Elizabeth and Norma both somersaulted up into the lowest branches of the trees around us, so that if the streak came back, he would have to teleport himself up into a tree if he wanted to reach them. The good thing about the streak was that his only power was how fast he could teleport. He couldn't fly, jump, or even fight exceptionally well. So if we could just keep a little distance between him and us, then we might actually stand a chance against him. Of course, the bad thing about the streak was also the fact that he could teleport from one spot to another faster than we could track him, so it was impossible to tell where he was until it was too late. The only trace he ever left behind him was a hazy blue wave, or streak. But that only told us where he had been, not where he would teleport to next. My thrusters wouldn't keep me in the air forever, but I took the chance to look all around the surrounding area for any traces of the warden superhero. At first I didn't see any sign of him, but then I heard splashing and shouts from the lake. As soon as I looked in that direction, I saw Captain Youth in the middle of the massive body of water. He was trying to keep his head above the surface of the lake, but he didn't seem to be having very much success. And it probably didn't help that we had just taken so much blood from him that he was already weakened. The streak must have snatched him out of the air, teleported him out to the middle of the lake, dropped him off, and then teleported back to the shore, all in under a few seconds. After all, the warden with the power to teleport was fast enough to appear in the middle of the water and then disappear from it again before he went under. When he had arrived on the scene, the streak must have taken one look at the situation, guessed that Captain Youth was working with me, and decided to take the matter into his own hands. This was not good. I thought for half a second that I might try to go save Captain Youth from drowning, but I almost instantly changed my mind. I wasn't about to leave my women alone to fight the streak, and there was no way that I could get out to the middle of the lake and back again in time. Besides, even though my thrusters might be able to propel me all the way to the middle of the water and back again with Captain Youth in tow, I really didn't give a shit. Captain Youth had been alive for over a century, and that was more than enough time for him to improve his fitness enough that a little blood loss wasn't enough to keep him from swimming to safety. So really, I couldn't help it if he was about to drown, since, at the end of the day, he had just told us what a curse he thought it was to live for such a long time.
Miles, what do we do?
Hold on, I called back, as I let some of the juice out of my thrusters. As I started to drift back down toward the ground, a thin blue haze appeared through the leaves below me before it disappeared again. Well, that meant the streak must have just teleported out underneath us before he vanished again. So I guessed that the next time he came back, he would actually try something. He had probably just teleported over to us again to get a better look at the situation. But that gave us a few seconds to get ready for him. The streak might technically be the fastest man in the world, but that was only because he could teleport from one spot to another so quickly. He couldn't actually run that fast, and I already knew that he wasn't much of a fighter. He was much sneakier in his attacks, and that was why he had just drowned Captain Youth. Teleportation was a handy skill, but if I had been the wardens, I would have made sure that the streak had been drilled in dexterity and martial arts, since it was a real weakness that his strongest ability was just the ability to appear and disappear into thin air. Then again, the warden's corp was so busy counting the money that they made off of all the streak's sponsorship deals that they failed to make him as strong and powerful as they could have. But since the wardens also didn't care whether or not the streak was able to save any civilians, just as long as he looked good for the sponsors, it didn't actually matter to them if he was agile or had any kind of fighting ability. They just wanted him to teleport himself around and smile for the cameras. But that just might be enough to give us the advantage right now. I touched down on the ground, glanced around, and then shot back up into the air a few feet. Norma, do you have any grenades?
Yeah, but I don't know when to throw them.
I estimated the time between when we had seen the flash of blue haze versus when we had heard Captain Youth in the lake, so I could try to guess when he might teleport back to where we were. Start throwing them now. We might get lucky, but just try not to explode them on us. My brunette assistant immediately began to chuck grenades one at a time down from her hiding spot in the tree. After she pulled the pin of the first explosive, she hurled it down into the middle of the trees, and I flew a little higher to avoid the blast. By the time the grenade blew a chunk of earth sky high, Norma had already tossed another one into the opposite side of the clearing. If the streak teleported here as suddenly as he did earlier, he might not be able to back himself out in time when he saw the grenade. Of course, he might also time his entrance a little better, but there was a decent chance that we might at least slow him down a little, and then we would be able to fight him on our own terms. Still, Norma didn't have an endless supply of grenades, so I decided to use the best weapon I had to slow somebody down, and it just so happened to be the same weapon that I had just used against Captain Youth. While my assistant continued to fire grenades left and right to try to catch the streak when he teleported back to us, I dropped back down to the ground beside one of the thicker maple trees. The trunk would have to be enough cover for me until I could set my trap, so I turned and fired my synthetic webbing at several of the other trees around us. Then I fired the sticky strands a few more times to create a web that was several yards across, and then I propelled myself back up into the air before I dropped back down and did the same thing between several of the other trees. After I added a final net of webbing across the ground itself at about ankle height, I dropped down behind one of the webs and waited to see if my plan would work. If the streak teleported into the clearing, he should get stuck in some of the webbing long enough for us to attack him before he could disappear again. And since the synthetic web was thin enough that it probably wouldn't look like much of anything to someone who moved as fast as the Warden superhero, I hoped that the streak would take the bait and dash right into my trap. Then we would find out just how strong this synthetic webbing really was. Soon enough, another flash of blue, hazy light appeared in the distance just after Norma's latest grenade toss. I immediately propelled myself up into the air again, and then the webbed ground covering suddenly stretched up toward the tree branches. I had just enough time to see a figure in the web as he pushed up against the synthetic fibers, but then he disappeared into thin air again, just before Norma threw another grenade at him. After it detonated, I didn't see anything, except for a cloud of smoke and dirt in the middle of the webbing. The streak could teleport faster than I would have guessed, so he must have felt the webbing around him and still been able to teleport out of there before it completely ensnared him. Still, it was interesting that he seemed to come up from the ground instead of just out of the air itself, but I didn't know if that fact would actually help us fight him. And now that the streak actually knew about the webbing, he probably wouldn't try that again.
There is a pattern to his appearances.
Then maybe you could tell me what that pattern is before he shows up again?
He should next appear beside the lake.
Just a few seconds later, I saw him materialize beside the water. The streak tilted his head to the side as he studied us, and then he disappeared again and left another blue haze behind him.
How do you know that, Eileen? A simple algorithm that considers...
You can tell us how later. Where is he coming out next?
Behind you. Between your 8 and 10 o'clock, approximately now.
I spun around to face the teleporting superhero, but just as he started to appear in front of me, Elizabeth made her move at the same time. Right as he became solid, she flipped herself out of the tree and landed straight on top of him. At first I thought the streak might disappear with my superpowered girlfriend, but she elbowed him to the face, hard enough that he stumbled backward. As soon as she landed the blow, she jumped back so that he couldn't grab her, and then I fired my finger lasers at the Warden. They weren't enough to kill him, but he staggered a few more steps back before he disappeared completely again. Where next, Eileen?
You're 1 o'clock, just past the webbing around the clearing.
Norma, you know the drill. My mousy assistant didn't reply, and instead she just lobbed a grenade directly at the place that Eileen had indicated. I had only just started to see the air shimmer above the grenade before it detonated a few seconds later. But, based on the scream that immediately followed, I guessed that we had done at least a little damage to the streak. By the time the smoke cleared, there was no sign of the teleporting Warden, so I figured that we had hurt him, but not actually killed him. I waited for Eileen's algorithm to predict his next location, and when she told us that he would come out at my 4 o'clock, only a little further away this time, Elizabeth took off running in that direction. As I raced after her, Norma vaulted out of the trees behind me, so when the streak materialized in front of us, we were almost right on top of him. Elizabeth immediately hit him in the face again as he reached for the nightstick in his belt, but Norma whipped around to his back and sliced her katana through both his Achilles tendons before he could disappear. He squealed with pain, but he could only drop to his knees instead of teleport away. For a second, I wondered if he actually needed the tendons at the back of his ankles to teleport, the same way he would if he were a runner, or if it was just the pain that kept him from moving again. But then he tried to lash out at me with his nightstick, and I didn't really give a shit what the reason was. Instead, I just stomped on his hand and forced him to drop the weapon. He started to shimmer in front of us, but the pain must have slowed him down, because I had time to reach over to Norma, grab another grenade from the chest of her suit, and pull the pin. Then, right before the streak disappeared, I tossed the grenade into the shimmering air around him. The warden and the grenade both instantly vanished.
Wait, where did...
She didn't even have time to finish her question, because 2 seconds later, there was an explosion beside the lake. All I saw was a spray of blood and intestines as the grenade blew the streak apart in every possible direction. I had timed my throw correctly, so the grenade had disappeared with the streak the same way that Captain Youth had. But the streak hadn't been able to teleport out again in time to get away from the grenade, so instead it had blown him to pieces in the middle of his last trip. Ugh, I couldn't even identify any body parts left by the time the blood all rained back down to the ground. But there were a few hunks that looked like they might have been bone.
Shit.
Well, that worked even better than I thought.
Let's go see the damage.
Norma said as cheerfully as if she had just suggested a picnic.
By the way, nice work with the grenade, boss.
They are quickly becoming my favorite weapon. I laughed as we started down the hill toward the lake. But I couldn't have done it if Eileen hadn't figured out the pattern of his movements.
It was quite simple, but perhaps you all can show me your appreciation later.
I'll keep that in mind. Right now, we should grab a tissue sample from him, if there's enough of one left. We could use a skill like teleportation, but we better make it fast before Optimo shows up too.
It appears that Optimo is on his way to a photo shoot. The streak seems to be the only warden who responded to the call, but the police will likely be at your location in a few minutes.
All right. Well, we'll still make it fast, but at least we don't have to worry about Optimo just yet. I replied as we finally reached the bloody remains of the streak. A few fragments of the dead superhero floated away across the lake toward the spot where he had just left Captain Youth to drown, but most of the streak's guts had exploded all over the ground at the edge of the lake. There were a few long pieces that looked like giant worms, so I guess those must be some of his intestines. And several of his bones were intact enough to make a guess as to what they were, like one of the bones in his forearm, and even a few bones from his fingers. But for the most part, all that was left of the fastest man in the world looked like a bunch of dark red jam that someone had smeared all over the earth. I'm not sure who got the worst deal today, I said with a smirk. What do you two think, Captain Youth or the Streak?
Ooh, I don't envy either one of them. But I'd probably take the Streak's fate if I had to pick. At least he went fucking fast. He died the same way he lived. What about you, Miles?
No, I would take Captain Youth's fate. Because unlike him, I have enough stamina to swim all the way back to shore, even after somebody drew my blood.
And you haven't even had a century to work on your form.
So, Norma, do you think there's enough intact tissue here to take back to the cellar? My brunette assistant leaned over what looked like it might have been a shoulder blade or a piece of skull, and then she prodded through some of the bloody fragments with her boot.
Yeah, we can work with this. Do you want to add teleportation to your formula against Optimo?
Nah. One day, sure, but it's already going to take long enough to cook up the combination of Optimo and Incubus and code that to my specific DNA before I can inject it. And with Optimo's powers, I'll be able to kill him, even without something like teleportation.
That's fair, but it will be pretty badass when we're able to give you teleportation and anti-aging.
Hell yeah. And I want to give both of you those abilities, too. Then you'll be as fast as you are strong, and none of us will ever get older.
Ooh.
Norma said as she looked up from where she was scraping some of the streak's remains into a little bag.
I don't want the teleportation because I honestly don't need it, but I'll definitely take some of that anti-aging.
Yeah, it'd be great if we had time to do it before we had to fight Optimo, but it'll just have to wait until he's permanently out of the picture, since it'll take too long to sequence everything to your specific genetic print.
That'll just give us something to do once the wardens are all eliminated.
Norma said as she stood up and tucked the bag of bloody remains into a pouch on her supersuit.
All right, I'm all set here.
Then let's get back to the cellar. On our way back from the remote campground, we passed three cop cars on their way up to the registration office to investigate the possible shooting or kidnapping that had been reported. But since we were just in one of my fleet of semi-disposable soccer mom vans, the police didn't look twice at us. So we just kept on going, without any problems, until we made it back to the mansion. I wanted to head down to the cellar right away to hand over the DNA samples from Captain Youth and the Streak to Eileen so she could start to process them, but it had been a hell of an afternoon, so I told Norma and Elizabeth they could go ahead and take showers if they wanted to. Norma promised to start dinner as soon as she was changed, so after she handed over the tissue and blood samples, I left both women upstairs and took the elevator down to Eileen.
I'm pleased to see you back safely, Creator. The Streak may not be strong, but his teleportation makes him a fearsome opponent.
It made him a fearsome opponent? Past tense.
Since he is dead, yes, of course.
Not to worry, we still collected some of his DNA. And we got Captain Youth's, too.
I can begin to process both samples, if you would like.
That'd be great, I said, and then handed them over. But don't waste too much time on them. I still want the primary focus to be on Optimo's powers, and how fast I can get them.
I understand, Creator. The entire process should be complete by approximately dawn tomorrow.
The whole thing? And then you can give the injection to me, and I'll have all of Optimo's powers permanently?
Yes. It will automatically be run through all of the safety protocols that I have in place, so that we will know it is both safe and effective before I even give you the injection.
Have I told you lately how much I appreciate you? I smirked. Or how brilliant you are?
An evil genius did make me. So naturally, I share his brilliance.
Very true. Well, it's only just now dinner time, so I'd say we have about 12 hours or so to wait, right?
It is a good thing, too. Once Optimo finds out that you killed the Streak, he will no doubt be upset.
Do you think he'll be more upset about the Streak's death than he is about the sponsors that have pulled out of Warden's Corp? Yeah, no, who am I kidding? Of course, he'll be more upset about the loss of their biggest corporate sponsors.
Another sponsor pulled out this afternoon. Apparently, investors have no confidence in a company that is supposed to protect civilians when they cannot even protect their own top civilian employees.
Perfect. And you're all set to buy up the stocks as soon as they reach what should be their lowest prices?
Yes, through a number of different shell companies. No one will know that Nelson Enterprises is about to acquire Warden's Corp.
Just like no one will know what I plan to do with it, I said with a grin. Good work, Eileen.
Thank you, Creator. There is, however, one other thing that I think needs your immediate attention.
No? And what might that be?
I can show you in the lounge. I will meet you there in just a moment.
What's the big mystery? I grinned.
You will see shortly.
I headed to the lounge in the cellar and kicked off the boots of my supersuit. I could change into something else in a minute, but right now I just sank down into the cushions of the couch and propped my feet up on the coffee table. It had been a hell of a day, but if everything went according to plan, tomorrow would be even more of a challenge. We might have killed the Streak today, but tomorrow we should be able to finally go up against Optimo. I couldn't fucking wait. While I waited for my beautiful android, I closed my eyes and leaned back a little more on the cushions. The only thing that I really wanted now was to be distracted until the DNA finished processing, and I thought I might pour myself a bourbon to help me unwind. Before I could move, I heard Eileen stride softly into the lounge, so I opened my eyes, looked up, and immediately felt my jaw fall just a little bit open. The beautiful android had taken off every piece of her clothing, so she stood completely naked before me, except for a little dark red thong that just barely covered her slit. Her hands were on her broad hips, and she stood up so straight that her teardrop-shaped tits looked even more firm and perky than usual. As I stared at every inch of her perfect body, Eileen slid one hand across her taut stomach and then slowly started to rub it down toward her entrance.
What do you think, Creator? Do you think this is something that needs your immediate attention?
Fuck yes. I pushed myself to my feet and then immediately started to strip off my supersuit.
Let me help you.
The beautiful android said, as she ran her fingers down my chest. As soon as we had stripped off my suit, I slid my arms around her impossibly narrow waist and pulled her close to me. Then I let my hands slip down her hips until I reached around and grabbed her thick ass, and I groaned at how good she felt against me. Sometimes it was still hard to believe that I had created such a perfect being. You haven't been feeling jealous, have you?
I do not think it's possible for me to feel such a human emotion. I have only thought about how much I want to feel you inside me again, and how much I want to please you, Creator.
That really is the only thing that you want in life, isn't it? I grinned.
Of course.
My robotic assistant purred in my ear.
My only goal is to serve you and please you in as many ways as I can.
Oh, then you better get your ass on that couch, I said as I grabbed her waist again and turned her around. Eileen sank down on the couch and spread her long legs wide so I could just see her pussy lips underneath her dark red thong. When I knelt in front of her, I started to tug off her underwear, but my beautiful android caught my hands and shook her head.
Actually, you can eat them. I designed them myself. They're a chocolate cherry flavor.
You really are perfect, I said with a smirk, and then I lowered myself down toward her edible thong. I ran my tongue along her underwear to taste the flavor, and it tasted exactly like chocolate-covered cherries, only it also mixed with the flavor of Eileen's narrow tunnel. I bit down on the thong and found that it almost instantly melted in my mouth, so then I thrust my tongue past it into the android's slit. After I took a few more bites of the thong and let it dissolve in my mouth, I ripped the rest of it off and tossed it to the side. It was good, but I was more interested in her pussy than in any kind of edible underwear that she could design. I pushed my tongue into her tight slit and let it massage up and down the inside of her smooth lips, while my robotic assistant gripped the couch cushions hard enough to make little tears in the seams. Then, when she was nice and warmed up, I thrust my tongue even deeper into her tunnel so I could taste every inch of her slick pussy, and so my lips could rub up against her clit. I started to run my tongue in little circles inside her, and every so often I pulled my tongue out completely and let it glide all around her clit to drive her just a little more crazy.
Oh.
I just grinned and kept going. She tasted even better than the flavored thong, and the more I tasted her, the deeper I buried my face in her entrance so I could kiss and suck her clit and her soft lips more and more. When the beautiful android started to purr a little deeper and moan a little louder, I knew that she was close to a climax, so I slowed down the movements of my tongue just enough to really let her orgasm build.
Oh, Creator! Oh!
Her head rocked back against the couch cushions at the same time her eyes rolled into the back of her head with a little spark. As the orgasm took control of her body, Eileen shuddered from head to toe And then she gave one final cry, like her entire consciousness was about to short-circuit. When her climax finished and her body stopped trembling, I licked up her sweet juices, rocked back on my heels, and looked up at her with a grin. Is that basically what you had in mind?
Oh, Creator, that felt so good that I do not understand how humans ever do anything but fuck each other.
It is a struggle, but you don't actually think we're done, do you?
We're not?
The beautiful android asked as she raised her head to look down at me. Oh, not a chance. I want to see just how high you can get those legs of yours.
As high as you need them to be. My joints are not human, so I do not have a normal range of motion. I can move them however you want me to, Creator.
Good. Then stand up for me. I lean and I stood up at the same time, but then I bent down to grab one of her legs. At first, I just hooked it around my waist, but then I decided to see just how far her legs really could go. So, I lifted it up until I propped her ankle up on my shoulder. It looked like she was doing the splits, only one of her feet was still planted firmly on the ground. Damn, Eileen, I said with a smile. You really are flexible.
Yes,
my android replied, and then she reached out to gently grasp my stiff cock. Put it in your pussy, I told her. Eileen guided my shaft toward her dripping entrance, and as soon as my tip pressed against her slit, I felt myself grow even harder. I couldn't believe that she had one leg up over my shoulder, because I knew just how deep that meant I would be able to slide my cock into her from that position. I let the tip of my shaft hover just inside her slick tunnel for a few seconds. Every time I almost pushed myself into her, I held myself back, just to tease her. But every time Eileen tried to squirm her way down onto my cock, I held her back, to make her want it even more. Finally, I gripped her narrow waist with both hands, and then plunged my full length into her hungry tunnel. As soon as her pussy swallowed my cock, Eileen cried out, and rocked a little on her standing leg, but she recovered her balance a second later. Then, with her one leg still propped up on my shoulder, I began to pump my hips into her again and again. Oh, she felt like a fucking dream as I thrust my cock into her over and over. But when she kicked her leg up a little higher, and I was able to thrust into her even deeper, I groaned at how goddamn good she felt. Her narrow tunnel had been made just for me, since Eileen and I had designed her body together to please me in every single way.
Oh, Creator. I want you to fill me up.
Oh, say please.
Oh, yes, please.
Only if you come at the same time, I told her, and then I started to thrust even faster into her tight pussy.
Yes!
As soon as I felt the android's second climax sweep over her, I plunged my cock into her again. But this time I let myself finally come too. I felt my seed burst from the tip of my shaft to fill up her clenching tunnel. And when I slammed into her again, I filled her up even more. Until we both just stood there with shaky legs as our orgasms crested and then finished together. When we were both done, I pulled out of her and watched as the beautiful android reached down, ran her fingers across my seed where it dripped out of her pussy, and then licked every last bit of it up from her fingers.
Thank you, Creator.
Any time, I said with a smile. But we should probably get some clothes on, since I'm sure the other girls will be down here in a minute.
As you wish.
Eileen purred. But before she slipped on her own clothes, she handed me one of the spare changes of clothes that I kept down in the cellar, so I wouldn't have to put my supersuit back on. Just as we finished getting dressed, the elevator dinged to let us know that the doors were about to open. But before the doors had even finished sliding out of the way, Penumbra floated straight into the cellar, with Elizabeth and Norma on the ground right behind her. The moment that the blonde levitation specialist saw us, she propelled herself forward and then landed right in front of me.
Oh, Miles!
Penumbra said as she flung her arms around me. Nice to see you too, Veronica, I said with a smirk,
You weren't gone that long, but it felt like forever.
The blonde moaned as she finally released me.
You got back fast?
Norma said with a smile.
Well, as soon as I got the text,
Penumbra stopped herself when she got a good look at Norma, and then she gave a little whistle.
God damn, Norma, you look fucking hot. It was all that cold Russian air.
My brunette assistant said with a sly smile, and then she told the blonde everything that we had done since she left for Greyville.
Well, you've all been busy, and damn, you've been assassinating wardens left and right. The Badger and the Streak. Isn't that basically everybody at the top except for Optimo? And Killer Kitten? Oh, I almost forgot about her. She's like the last major shareholder, right?
Now that we took out the CEO and the brothers at the head of the board of the directors, yeah. Other than Optimo, obviously.
Okay, so what's our plan of attack? Do we sneak up on her after a photo shoot, or do you want me just to toss her around a little with Dynamo? What's our play? Actually, I kind of just wanted to talk to her. Sorry, what? I know she's shallow, and vain, and obnoxious, and everything, but I just feel like... Let me at least try to talk to her first. Please? But like, why?
Penumbra raised an eyebrow.
Because I don't think she was always a horrible person.
My superpowered girlfriend said with a shrug.
So, I'd like to see if there is still any goodness in her before we kill her.
Well, if you really want to, that's fine. We haven't heard from her at all, so I don't suppose it'll hurt anything if you check in with her first.
Thank you, Miles. We know what kind of person Optimo is, and the Streak attacked us, so we didn't have a choice other than to kill him. And the same thing was true for the Badger, but even though I know that Killer Kitten is selfish and arrogant, I don't know if she's actually a really bad person. You mean you don't know if she's bad enough to kill or not? Yeah, basically.
And you want to meet with her on your own?
Yeah, I think I might spook her if I show up with the evil genius.
Elizabeth said with a wink.
I want to at least give her a chance to talk to me first before we decide what to do. And then if there's no chance that she's a good person or could be on our side, then we can take her out.
Okay. Go ahead and set up the meeting with her, but set it up somewhere out of town, somewhere that Optimo would probably never go. Oh, and it's gotta be tonight, since everything should be ready for us to attack Optimo tomorrow.
I can go with Dynamo. You should get some rest tonight, Creator. And I do not need to be present in the cellar to complete the DNA work. The rest of the process is automated.
What about me? Actually, you don't have to answer that. I could probably use a little extra sleep to recover from my jet lag to Russia. You did kind of have a whirlwind trip. Do you want me to come, Dynamo? I think Eileen and I should be able to handle it just fine. If that's okay with Miles.
Sure, I said with a shrug. If you think you need to talk to her, then go ahead and take Eileen. But I don't want Eileen to show herself unless she absolutely has to, understand?
Of course. I will stay hidden, unless Dynamo needs me.
Well, then make the call and see if Killer Kitten can meet tonight. Elizabeth pulled out her phone, paused, and then kept going. You're not having second thoughts, are you?
No, I just thought I had her in here under Killer Kitten. I guess I have her here under her real name of Helena Petrovna. Yeah, and it just kind of reminds me of how she's human, you know? Like, maybe she wasn't always such a bitch.
Are you sure you're up for this? If she tries to arrest you or fight you, you know you'll have to kill her, right?
I can do it. She might be a human, but if she sides with Optimo, then she's not a good one. And definitely not worth saving.
Okay, good. I said, because as much as I loved that Elizabeth was always the conscience of our group, I wanted to make sure that she wouldn't hesitate if she needed to execute Killer Kitten. Elizabeth took a deep breath and pressed call.
Helena?
My girlfriend began when the line picked up.
It's Elizabeth. I mean, Dynamo. Listen, do you think you could meet me?